Log Talk Radio.
Beyonce in there because I passed by House of Darion yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's nobody ever in there. House of Darion, if y'all don't know what that is Beyonce's family's the line of clothes. And their main, I guess, I don't know what that is. It's a distribution office, the main office, whatever, is somewhere here in Houston. I'm not going to tell you where. If you want to find it, look it up. But... And I always stumble upon it by accident. Actually, I can't tell you where it is because I never know the street. I just kind of look up and go, oh, House of Darion.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to go. So next time I'm in Houston, I'm going to have you take me and show me.
You will have to stumble upon it. I have the general area. And then I go, oh, House of Darion. But there's no, it's not like a showroom or anything. I haven't seen where you can go inside unless, of course, you work there. So... I thought about it today. Yeah, something else I noticed yesterday. I did a little bit of an experiment most of the morning yesterday while I was out because I went to send Ginger's – maybe that was Monday. I'm all confused about Mondays. I know I was out somewhere one day. But I sent Ginger a birthday present, which I'm waiting for her to get so I can hear the high-pitched squeal, but I won't get to hear it because her mail comes all late and stuff. But I did a little bit of an experiment. You know, I had saw on the news where they were saying that, you know, social media is, of course, making some of us socially awkward, even more socially awkward. People don't want to talk to each other. They break up via text. They break up via Twitter. They break up via Facebook. Nobody calls anybody anymore. Nobody wants to say hello. So I made a point to say good morning to every person I saw. Morning. And It's interesting the responses that you get. I passed by one lady who was a doctor, and she glanced at me before I said good morning, and then she very quickly looked right back into her phone. Like she was afraid to say or look at me. And I went, good morning. And then she looked up and it was such a shock. Like, you said something to me. And then she goes, oh, good morning. You know?
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible, people.
And that was the response most of the time. And now some of the older people, when I said good morning, I got very happy good morning back. Good morning. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm great. Weather's nice. Have a good day. You know, y'all need to say hello to people more. Put the phone in your pocket for a minute or at least stop and say hello to people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. And, you know, it's true. I mean, I hadn't thought about it, but I've seen that because one of the places that I'm taking to, like, in a walk is in the downtown area where I live. And, you know, it's a smallish town. You say, you know, hey, hi, what's up? The people you pass by, they kind of look at you weird, like, why are you talking to me? Why is a strange girl talking to me? Okay, on the other hand, I have to say the last time I did this, I was walking with a pink polka dot bow in my hair. So they could have probably thought I was crazy. The bow was cute, and I forgot it was there. I tied it in my hair just goofing off around the house and then went out and did errands and had totally forgotten it was there.
You are out of control, ma'am.
And I went to lay down later that night, and I was like, what is in... Oh, there's a bow. Oh, my God, that bow's been in my hair all day. I mean, the realtor came and everything, and I've got this big, bright pink bow with, like, polka dots in my hair. And
and it was lovely, I just bet you.
It totally was, but, yeah.
I bet you were the loveliest of lovely, lovely gamer girls.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I want to mention about that little experiment, you ladies out there, you especially want to sometimes look up and say hello because, you know, it's easy for somebody to snatch you. Two studies show that you are less likely to get attacked when you look you know, let's say, assume it's an attacker. He, you know, if he's contemplating attacking you, they say there's a less chance, less of a chance of them attacking you if you look at them.
Yes.
And
yes,
say, and say something.
Then you've noticed who they are. You're going to remember who they are. And
well, they said they don't like it. It's kind of a confrontation thing.
Yeah.
They put in their head. So look up, say hello.
Yeah.
Put the phone down, or at least get the earpiece so that you can look around and you can, hey, good morning, and then you keep walking.
Yeah, exactly. Something.
Guys too. Sometimes some of y'all are getting snatched nowadays. I'm seeing the whole
lot of. Pumping me?
I don't think so.
Okay, because my internet's been a little wonky right now, so.
Oh, you're fine so far.
Okay, good.
She got lots of news.
I know, because we weren't here yesterday, and I missed all of you. So, good morning, people.
As did I.
Wait, we weren't here yesterday, yeah?
No, we weren't here.
Yeah, we weren't. Seriously, the last couple of weeks, days are running together, and I'm, like, losing track of time. It's pain.
Tell them, people, what you got.
What have I got? Well, I have got all sorts of news. And if my windows will open, here's the one I want to talk about first, because I think this is awesome. Of course, y'all know I love GamePolitics.com. And they've got a story up about an 11-year-old who won $20,000 for creating an app that combats texting while driving.
Ooh.
This is awesome. Yeah.
This kid is going to win, make more than $20,000. This is
going
to go.
Places. Yeah.
Yes. Little girls, you may not know what lap sitting is, but look it up.
Well.
No, don't do that.
Well, the boys may want to look this up because it was a little girl who made it.
Oh, I bow to her girliness.
Uh-huh. 11-year-old girl. Her name is Victoria Walker. She's who won the $20,000 award from AT&T for making an app that discourages users from texting while driving. The contest, they say, was part of a promotion to generate awareness for the It Can Wait campaign, which reminds mobile phone users that texting while driving, distracted driving, can have deadly consequences. Yes, I don't know how many people, I had to filter what I was thinking this in.
Yeah.
Have almost run me off the road, run red lights, almost run into other cars, swerve lanes, because you're too busy texting and not paying attention to where you're driving. I saw an idiot almost drive up underneath an 18-wheeler the other day while texting. I was like, wow, that would have served you right. That was karma right there. Victoria Walker worked closely with the game designer David Grau to create the app Road Dog. The app encourages friends to join one another in a pack, which in turn allows all group members to monitor each other. Assuming users are logged into the app, if one user sees another user texting while driving, they can send a loud barking sound to that friend. The sound will not stop until the phone is put away. Walker and Grau plan to have the app on various marketplaces for Android, iOS, and Windows iPhone later this year. They also plan on using the prize money to further enhance the app. I think that's awesome. All right, so if you want to check out Road Dog, you can check it over at RODEDOG.com, roaddog.com. Road, not as in R-O-A-D, but R-O-D-E, dog. They say congratulations to Victoria Walker for creating an app that has the potential to save lives. This is amazing. And seriously, 11-year-old girl made the app. That is so awesome. I am so
I'm proud thrilled. I'm proud as a female techie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most people think geeks or they think coders and they think boys. They think, you know.
I did. I went right to the boy thing.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of that this morning. But, Victoria, mm-hmm. We are so proud of you.
Yes, so proud, so proud. I wonder if we could, like, get her on someday. So, you know,
well, you know, we're still trying to get the designer from Ponycorns on. But she can't stay up late.
Oh, but that is so cute. But that is awesome.
Catchy.
You know, well, I love Ponycorns. She didn't exactly make the game. Her dad did. She helped design the game. This girl actually made this app.
Still, they're awesome.
Yes, very much.
I love our girls.
Girl power, baby.
I gotta say, this is how this is gonna play out. You know, you're gonna have cell phone companies that are gonna be snapping this up.
Yes.
And
probably.
Parents, if you're smart, you need to put that on the App Store. You don't have to charge much for it. Make it 99 cents. If you get a million people, that's a college fund right there. That's a trust fund. Victoria is set for life if y'all do this right. Just saying. I hope you're paying attention. And encourage more apps.
Yes. though. I mean, because we're dual drivers here. And, you know, while the other person's driving, I am usually on my phone. So is there, you know, can you opt out of this when you're not actually driving? I guess you can, because they say, you know, you have to be logged into it. So
yeah, you can just not log in since you're not driving. But you might want to be, because I know some people that I am in the car with. I'm on my phone, and they're trying to text on theirs, and I would like to be able to, you know, because, you know, my solution is I'll take the phone and throw it out the window. And I'm pretty sure, you know, my friends don't, you know, they might not like that, me throwing their, you know, $300 phone out the window, but I will. I will snatch it and throw it out the window. So this will work much better if I can do the barking thing. And this is how this always starts with me. Are you really texting and driving while I'm sitting next to you? Do you know what's about to happen to your phone?
Why do y'all do this, people? Don't you know? Do you not love us enough to not protect us, or to protect us, you know?
Well, the technology is already there for you to not have to do this. Even cars now are starting to read the text out loud to you. But you already have this technology in your phone. Even though Siri's not great, I hear tell she will read a text to you, and you can respond back via your voice. Or how about this? How about you just call that person and talk to them for a couple seconds and then get off the phone?
Exactly. And I've had people pull over behind me, because if I get a phone call and I'm on the highway, I will pull over to the side of the road and try to talk to them usually, because I don't like to try to drive and talk, because you're distracted, and I get distracted easily enough as is. I don't want to be in a wreck. And I've had people pull over behind me. Are you okay? Yeah, I have a phone call. I didn't want to drive.
And you know what? I can appreciate that you do that, but some people don't realize that they are not able to talk and drive at the same time. I can, because I look at it as, you know, it's the same as when I call Ginger in the car, or she calls me, it's the same as if she's sitting next to me. And if I can talk to you sitting next to me, I can talk to you on the phone while I drive. What
I
don't
do
need to do...
But if I have to hold the phone and drive, I can't do it.
I can hold the phone and drive. I don't have any issue, because, you know, again, I'm from the generation before there was phones. Sometimes I had a soda in my hand while I'm driving. I, you know, drive a stick shift with a soda and a sandwich. Figure that out.
Now, I don't want to eat that soda 9 times out of 10. It's going to end up spilled in my lap.
Yeah, I'm multitasking queen. So, and we, you know, we all know that. I've tried to see if I could text and drive. It is impossible to do.
You're looking down and you're not looking at the road. And the minute you stop looking at the road, your hand starts drifting one way or the other.
Yeah, it does. So I try to do it at the light, or I use the voice capabilities. And if it's something that I can't say out loud because Baby Nature's is in the car, then I will hit the button, you know, voice to I will talk to you later. I can't talk right now.
Exactly.
And I put the phone down. And you can bring me for the next 15 minutes if you like. When I stop at a stoplight, or if I'm in traffic and we're stopped, I will check in. But some of y'all are just unnecessarily putting yourselves at risk. Okay, we're all off on a tangent. Ah, such good and delicious things happening.
Yes, completely.
There's some stuff that Bungie is saying about Halo.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh. Are we about to have, you know, some kind of E-Pain fight?
I really don't know. This is from Tony Goodman. Of course, let me take you back. Halo Wars hit shelves back in March 2009, and it was the last hurrah for the talented folks of the Age of Empires developer Ensemble Studios. They said it was not supposed to be a Halo game. However... And unfortunately, it led to all sorts of friction between Ensemble and Bungie and Microsoft. Now, GI has an interview they did with Ensemble founder Tony Goodman, and he was reflecting on their last project, which again was Halo Wars. He said Halo Wars is really fantastic, under-recognized product, but he lamented how Microsoft forced Master Chief on the project after they were far into development. He said Microsoft is pretty risk-averse. And they said, I don't know if we want to take the risk of creating strategy games on a console. We'd feel better if Halo were attached to it. So that's how that happened. The difficult part of that, he said, was that it took the game back about a year in development. And he said he thinks that they never quite turned out the same. He said they just said, why don't you just paint over what you have with Halo stuff?
What? What?
That's quite that simple. Goodman, you know you were in so much trouble.
Oh, my God. Paint over the stuff.
Okay, so that's how you got Halo Wars. Now, he said the
Y'all
whole situation.
Me.
Yes, he said the whole situation was made worse by there by some tension that started to build between Ensemble and Bungie. And he says, while Bungie didn't have the bandwidth to take on the project on their own, the studio, according to Goodman, didn't appreciate the IP being used in another title in a different genre. He said, interestingly enough, this goes against what Bungie AI specialist Damian Isola told Eurogamer back in 2008. He says, we've done a lot of talking with the Ensemble guys, this is what he said back then, and we're all really excited about Halo Wars because from everything we've seen so far, it's a very cool, faithful adaptation. Everything we've seen has been very, very encouraging. We're very excited about it, he said at the time. That's called marketing. their name is attached to Halo, whether they did it or not. Everybody, when you say Halo, we say Bungie. Halo, Bungie, Halo. There you go.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So anyway.
Halo, I say Bungie. Halo, Bungie.
Goodman said, that's not how he remembers it. He said another problem was that Bungie was never up for it. Bungie was kind of sore about the idea. What they called it was the whoring out of our franchise or something like that. Ooh.
Wow.
He said that didn't create a great relationship between us and Bungie. They viewed us as someone infringing on their franchise. He said it was a very tough period for his studio, but in the end, he's very happy to be on his own now, having just launched his first game from People Fun called Word Chums. And there is a full interview that we may actually – well, I won't be around tonight, but I may throw it to these guys to talk about because I know – Ginger, you played Halo Wars, didn't you?
I have all the Halo, so yes.
Yes, so I dropped out after 3. I couldn't take any more. I was done.
Wasn't a thing. After about 2 is when, don't get me wrong, I will always be a Halo fan. I love me some Master Chief. But after 2, it started going downhill. Y'all started, like, branching off, and y'all brought in other characters that was no longer my Master Chief. And you brought in a romance story. You brought in love and a kiss and a little baby alien, and you killed it.
See, killed I don't it. Nothing about that.
No. No. It was very, very, very sad. Very, very sad to me. Very disturbing.
Well, see, now you know why. Now you know why.
Yeah. If you wanted to create a different game, great. Create a different game. Do not paint over it and call it Halo.
Well, see, that was Microsoft's idea. And on one hand, I understand why they I don't understand why. I think I have an idea why. Remember the Lord of the Rings games? And the Lord of the Rings games remains one of the most successful movie-to-game adaptations, I think, in the history of gaming. They usually don't do very well, and those Lord of the Rings games were awesome. But they did all kinds of genres. You had your FPS type. You had your strategy, your simulation one, and every one of them were great. I don't think I picked up one that I hated at all, like ever, which is unusual for me, to have something so vastly spread out. But I think maybe at the time, Microsoft was thinking the same thing. Why don't we do this with Halo? But it just doesn't work as well with Halo. I mean, it's not like Halo was a movie and you have that freedom to say, you know what, let's try doing this with it. Let's make it a real-time strategy, or let's make it a turn-based strategy. Okay, now let's do this with it. Okay, now let's put now you get to play as the orcs. Okay, now you get to play as just Legolas. Now you just get to play as just Frodo. You know, it didn't go over well. And I didn't play them, but I heard the backlash. I heard a lot of the backlash.
I'm a little bit worried with Legos that they're coming out with Lord of the Rings Legos.
I think it's going to be awesome.
I hope so. I sincerely hope so. But I pulled out, because I got back into playing Legos, I played Batman 2 and loved it.
I told you would. Did I not tell you would?
But I pulled back out my Lego Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Boring. So flipping boring. I was like, oh my God. Now I know why I never finished this one. This one is boring.
Well, it was then, but remember, now we have a little bit more to work with, we hope.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping so, because that first one, I mean, seriously, I was like, why did I play this in the first place?
Come on, I would play just see Lego, not Lego Frodo. What's the one? the little crazy one? Smeagol? Lego? Lego Smeagol?
Gollum?
No, Gollum, yeah. Smeagol, Gollum, whatever.
Yeah.
His name. I would play Lego him just to see him and so that I could hit him and he can explode. I would feel so much better.
My bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, when he says, you've ruined it, I just want to smack him and then
you
just explode.
You ruined it.
When he explodes, I'm going to just. I'm done with the game. I don't need to play anymore. I just need to hit him one time. Just one.
Gollum's creepy. People, so many people are like, oh, I love Gollum. But, if you actually read the story and read the stuff Gollum said. Gollum was creepy as all flipping get out. He was, man, always talking about how he wants to eat the hobbits and wonders what they'll taste like and such and such. And
he says that in the movie.
Yeah, he only says it like once, you know, and
that was enough. That was enough.
But in the book, he like goes into it, and it's like dark and it's creepy, and it makes your skin crawl. It's like, ooh. Okay. So there is some new research out that is going against the mainstream research, I guess. Co-op players, in other words, they mean players who play violent video games, are less aggressive. New research from Ohio State.
Huh? Imagine that.
All right. Ohio State finds that players who engage in cooperative play in games like Call of Duty and Halo show increased cooperative behavior later, as opposed to aggressive behavior. Ha! Take that, people! The research was co-authored by OSU Professor of Communication David Ewaldson, I hope I said your name right, and was comprised of several studies. The first study had students play the video game Halo 2 for 20 minutes in separate rooms, with each given four contrasting play conditions. In the cooperative condition, subjects played the game as teammates against computer aliens. In the direct competition condition, they played against each other. In the indirect competition, they played the game solo. In the last condition, they did not play the game until much later after they filled out a survey for measures of cooperation. The second study had students play Unreal Tournament 3, who were only placed in the cooperative or direct competition conditions. The second subject wore an Ohio State or Michigan t-shirt, demonstrating an in-group or out-of-group manipulation. This researchers say, had no effect on the results. After both studies concluded, students who took part in a cooperation task were each given four dimes to start off with. They were told that they could either keep all the dimes or give them to another player. Each dime given to another player doubled in value. The idea is that you can be selfish and keep your dimes, or you can give them away. And if each person gives their dimes away, they get more money. So that's the measure of cooperation. Both studies found that when they played cooperatively, people cooperated in the later task. At the end of it all, Ewaldson says the best way to describe the results is, it's not the content of the game that matters, it's how you play the game that matters. Ewaldson said that he wanted to show the relationship between video game aggression and actual aggression is more complex than it is made out to be by other research. See that? Told you so. You guys have all been screaming that, you know, we're all violent and, you know, we're the reason why people are getting stabbed and killed. You know what? These people who are stabbing and shooting people are not playing video games. They're not.
You know, they're busy planning how they're going to stab and shoot people. They don't have time to play. If they played, they maybe would get that out of their system.
Because there's no internet in jail.
Word?
We like our game.
Word.
we may talk about it and how I want to stab you in the face repeatedly, but I wouldn't actually do it because there's no internet in jail. I can't play my games there.
And that's a quotable for the day.
I get you in a game and I don't like it. Oh, that's a whole other story. I'm going to camp your till you're in tears.
Respawn point. Okay, anyway.
Yes, and I'm going to be waiting right there for you.
Blowed up. Okay, so we are out of order already.
Frag grenade! Frag out!
Sister, what am I going to do with you?
You can love me always, kiss. I'm adorable. I'm so cute. Yeah.
Yeah, you are. And awfully perky this one. Our Ginger is back. Did y'all miss this Ginger? Did y'all miss this perky Ginger? I did. I missed this perky Ginger.
This ginger's feeling a lot better, so I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
The Ginger is perky. All right, speaking of violence. Okay, how about I just picked up a remote for my TV?
Why?
Oof. Yeah, I'm off. Okay, let me move back to the news. Wow. The text that I get during the show. Stop it.
No, not that.
I almost said some of those words out loud. Can't do that. Okay, so you...
I'm curious.
So those of you who like your... love your first-person shooters and want to play a free one, there's one that's in the beta stages. It's called UFO Online. It's under the codename Operation War Game. It's a turn-based MMOG. Ow! Just hit my lip. us beginning a stress test of a special type within the framework of the week-long event. There's some prizes. You're saying what? I know you're probably like me saying, psh, they're probably going to give away something in the game. No, this is a real-world item. I want you guys to put your hands above the desk. They're giving away an Aurora gaming PC. And further Alienware gaming hardware is up for grabs as well. We do have a key for you to get into the beta if you want it. I am checking to make sure it's okay to share with you. I'm assuming so since they said I could, but I'd like to make sure. You know what? I may put it up anyway. Come after me if we're not supposed to. Boo. Whatever. So we'll have a key up for you shortly on new.gamingatrix.com. Now, the event itself will not start until tomorrow, so you want to get your client already. Get it all downloaded. It starts tomorrow, 5 p.m., and it'll go until 5 p.m. on October 5th. And the beta servers will be closed until they start the event. Do not contact us talking about, I got my key, but I can't get in. What's wrong? First of all, we didn't make the game.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah, you remember what happened with those rocket launchers. I'm just saying. First of all, we didn't make the game.
Well, I have rocket launchers. Why don't I have my rocket launcher? I applied for my
rocket launcher. My friend wants to get one. Dude, we got more than enough keys. Just send your friend over. It's all good.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how many times people see me in game. Can you give me a rocket launcher? No, you can go to the website and sign up. And if you do, tell me you did, and I will go check the back end and get it for you.
I will get you a key.
You can't. No, I don't actually have them in my physical inventory.
Yes. Oh, God. That was, I had like 16 items, like all at once. I think my computer froze in Fallen Earth. 16 people. Can I get a rocket launcher? I says, okay, you know, we go to the website, and then, you know, we have to. Why can't you just give me one? Oh, yes, because I'm just walking around carrying rocket launchers. We did not make these, honey.
Yeah. Well, I was walking around carrying my rocket launcher, so people could, you know, people saw it, and they were like,
no, I mean, they thought I had some, like you said, in my inventory.
Yeah, I
give them. Oh, God, I don't have any. Stop harassing.
See, that was the deal, because they would see me with mine out, and they would be like, oh, but you have one.
Yes, I had mine first, as a matter of fact.
I'm pretty sure, I think Corey had to sign me up for, or I had to sign me up for, one of the two to get. I had to do the same thing y'all did, to get one.
I just made sure you had yours first, which was not that was a bad idea, actually. I should not have let us go in with those, because as soon as we stepped up there, where'd you get that?
On the other hand, that was great advertising.
It really was. And we still have those, by the way. We'll put them up again probably later in the year, later when it's cold.
Yes. I know, I reinstalled it the other day. I was like,
oh, I get to reinstall mine now that Frankie's back up.
That is a beautiful game. Beautiful game.
It'd be lovely. Arr.
Arr, 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 arr.
It'd be quite lovely. Arr. Arr.
All right. We may be a slightly goofy this morning.
Slightly.
All right. So we've got... all right, we got another one. An open beta. Did we talk about this? District 187?
No, we did not. We were talking about a different open beta. But please do share. Tell them about the other betas. Lots of betas going on.
Lots of betas, because it is getting to be that time of year. It's getting cold. People are going to be inside. So these betas are getting going. So these games can be released when it gets nice and cold. Mm-hmm. District 187, Finn Streets, unveils open beta date at some place that I want to talk about. Exceeds 1 million players. Oh, and this one's giving away a computer.
Ooh.
When an Alienware, which is way overpriced, M14X laptop and other prizes in District 187 Sin Streets, play and win event this weekend. Announcing today the open beta date for its anticipated free-to-play first-person shooter, District 187 Sin Streets. The open beta will include major updates, introducing new maps, new weapons, and more. In addition, District 187's popularity has driven the Netmarble portal to well over 1 million registered players. To celebrate, players can now enter District 187 Sin Streets without a beta key. We've been floored by the overwhelming turnout for closed beta, says producer John Enye Mariel. Anyways, these servers have held up under the pressure and we're ready to take it to the next level prior to open beta on October 9th. CJ Games Global is also hosting a play and win event this weekend, with the grand prize being an Alienware M14X gaming laptop. Today through Sunday, September 30th, players who log in and play District 187 for at least 1 hour will be automatically entered for a chance to win. Guess who is installing this right now? Prizes for the Play and Win event this weekend, September 27th through the 30th, include the grand prize, which is, of course, the Alienware. Oh, I just scrolled. There we go. Alienware M14X gaming laptop valued at $1,099. Second place is a gaming set, keyboard, headset, and mouse valued at $450. Third place is a District 187 gear pack, includes exclusive t-shirt and more, which is a $50 value. All right, so you want to play this? Well, I've got the whole link up for you on new.gamingmatrix.com. Head over there and check it out. Like I said, I am currently heading over there right now to create my own account, and I'm going to be logged in for at least 1 hour.
Because that's how long it takes to get hooked.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Of course, they want you to know, Play and Win event is void where prohibited. No purchases are necessary. Only eligible players 18 or older who reside inside the United States may win physical prizes.
During a full moon.
Yeah. Chances to win the grand and second prize are 1 in 600,000. The chance to win the third prize is 1 in 200,000. Winners responsible for all taxes. Only one entry per day is allowed. All right, so I'm going to be logged in 1 hour every day. Once during the weekend, Alienware and the Alienware logo are registered trademarks, and trademarks have been overpriced. Expensive Alienware Corporation.
Just wrong. Just all kinds of wrong.
I love me some Alienware. But, you know, before I built my Frank and Fred, I looked at Alienware, and then I saw the price. And I was like, screw you. And I went to Newegg, and I found a case that has an alien on it. So my fans have this cool little alien face, and they're blue. They glow just like Alienware. And I paid $20 for a case. And overall, I think I spent about $650, $700 building my computer, my power, which saved me.
Have you seen the new Alienware laptops?
Oh, they're so hot. Man, and that's the only way I would get an Alienware is if I was going with a laptop. Never.
I saw one when I was getting parts for Frankie and my new gamer buddies, who I have yet to contact. If y'all are listening, because I sent them to the show, I am going to email you. Just give me time. They were sitting down playing with it, and we picked up the biggest laptop that they have, and it's heavy. But when I tell you the specs on it, you know, we were drooling, like, you know, we had to have bibs. It was gorgeous, and the whole thing is just lit in. The keyboard is lit, around the screen is lit, you know, and it has the rotating lights, you know, where it's changing colors. And I know you all are like, that's just cosmetic, but it's so pretty. I would carry it around and leave it on just so you could see that.
So pretty. So pretty.
It's gorgeous. And then they have a smaller one now. And it is equally powerful. It's very small. It can fit in a purse, girls. It can fit in a purse. But it's a gaming Alienware laptop. Not the small purse. It's not your little clutch. But I'm talking about you know, some of us have those bigger bags. It could fit in your bag. It's not too heavy, but it is super powerful. I wish I could tell you the name, but all I know is I was like, my God, that could fit in my purse. I could just whip it out just anywhere and just start playing just anything.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So I love them. But you are right. They're a little bit overpriced, but on one hand, it might be worth it. Just maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah.
I want it.
Yeah.
I want it. I want them precious. Okay, I'm going to need y'all to stop. They're going crazy with the news this morning.
Are they? Because I haven't refreshed the page because
don't,
I was just
refresh.
Down to the end of the first one finally.
Don't do it. Run for your life. it's just all right, I'm going to – oh, wow. Okay, so there's something, of course.
You know, I wish these avatars could actually be as hot as this picture. You know what? Hold on. I've got to show you this website really quick. And I know this is not the news. I'm going to give you the link. You got to check that out. Look at the guy on the left. Because, oh, my God, if my avatars could be hot like that. Yeah.
Oh, Ginger's trying to get me in trouble or something.
I can't help it.
Yeah, you can't help it. Yes, you can. Don't get me in trouble.
But you love it.
Which one? Which avatar? Really? Oh, the one on the left. I already know who you're talking about. Ooh, so there.
Right? I was like, dude.
What's your name?
I know, right, man? Like I said, my avatar could be hot like that.
Oh, hey there. Ooh. He needs some syrup. He's not even real. He needs some digital on you, boy. Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway. Good morning to Joe and Horace.
Yay! Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Norris.
By the way, you've been retweeted by Mr. Taffeta, darling. I put up your quote. It says, gamers don't kill people. There's no internet in jail.
It's true. It's so true. It's sad.
We just want to clear that up in case y'all didn't know. Okay, gamevoters.org is now really stepping up their effort. They're telling you guys, please go out and register to vote. And if you're lazy, you can do it online at videogamevoters.org. I'm actually going to tweet the link. So if you're not listening live, you can go through our tweets, and if you can't find us, you can do the Blog Talk Radio. Those tweets will be specific to us. Blog Talk Radio, GGR Gaming News is our hashtag. So, Let me finish reading this. I'm all off on a tangent in my own head. Wow. Okay, so so they're saying, of course, video games do have a positive influence across the board on our economy, our health, our families, artistic expression, education, everyday life, but our lawmakers are still feeling the need to try to regulate video games, claiming they should be treated differently than movies, books, and other forms of expression. So even if you're thinking it's just a game, it is a form of artistic expression. So they're saying, please make sure you register to vote and exercise your First Amendment rights so you can protect your games. And I'm going to tell you the link, and again, I'm going to tweet it here shortly, videogamevoters.org/register-2-vote-now. Go over and register to vote. If you're over the age of 18, our younger listeners, who shouldn't be listening to the show, by the way, because we're rated M, I think, now. Aren't we rated M?
I'm not quite sure.
I think I rated us M.
I wouldn't know why. Is it my penchant for saying the P word?
Go ahead and get it out of your system, Jen.
Man!
You guys over the age of 18, go register, vote. It's less than a month's time before we pick our new people to be in office.
Yes.
We don't care who you vote for, just vote. You know, we all have our preferences, but just make sure you do vote. So at least when you complain, you can have a reason to complain. You tried to pick someone and they didn't get picked. If you didn't vote, you can't say anything, or you shouldn't. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. If you didn't vote, you don't have an opinion. Shut up.
Yep, just be quiet. I don't want to hear anything you guys say, because I stood in that line. And I'm going to do it again this year.
Yeah.
And hope that Baby Natrix doesn't do like she did last year and say, you voted for him? Hey! There is a curtain here for a reason, per little person.
that's awesome.
Oh, man. She surely did call me out. It was somebody she saw on TV that she decided she didn't like.
I love Baby Natrix. She's so awesome.
And I forgot why she didn't like them. It was something that was it was very kid centric. You know, the reason was hilarious, but the fact that she yelled it out, people turned around to look and they were like, "Is everything okay?"
This is supposed to be anonymous and quiet.
Explain to her, I brought you in here so that you could see the process and it's comfortable to you, so that when you're ready to vote, you're like, I know exactly what to do. I watched my mom do this, not for you.
You know, and that is brilliant, because my parents never did. So the first time I went and voted, I was like, what am I doing? Where are these other people?
Freaked out. Because there was a line. Like, I was in line for 4 hours. Like, I was waiting for concert.
Wow.
But you should be. If you can wait in line for an iPhone, you can wait in line to vote, people. I'm just saying. This is much more important than your iPhone.
No, mine was, they had, like, a voting booth set up at, like, I don't know. I think it was, like, the library or store or something like that. And we could go in and vote. But it had, like, the local people, too. And I didn't realize that when you voted for president, you're not just voting for president on that little sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're voting for local representatives and everything else, too, all at the same time. And,
yeah, that's what she was yelling about. Him?
Yeah. I was like, I have no idea who these people are. So, yeah, the next time after that, I had to go and do research beforehand so I knew who the rest of the people were so that I could vote competently.
Yes, and you all should vote. So now, mm-hmm. Tweet! And there it is.
Yes. Yes.
Tweet, tweet. I just tweeted to you. Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet. Twitter, Twitter. She tweeted. Anyways. There's a big alert out right now. There are dwarves that need names. Urgently need names.
Dwarves?
Dwarves. Dwarves.
Dwarves. Dwarves.
Yeah. Yeah, like the seven kind, the grumpy, the sleepy, the
ones
sleazy.
The ones that belong to the Snow White. Yes, dwarves.
Yes, like those. All right, so A Game of Dwarves is coming out, maintaining a thriving settlement, and A Game of Dwarves is no simple task, but Paradox Interactive, who we love, and Zeal Game Studios, who I've not ever heard of, but, you know, I love them if they're working with Paradox, has finally discovered the right ingredients to keep their digital dwarves delighted. To stay happy, dwarves need food, rest, Pressure Adventure and their very own website.
Digital Dwarves Delighted. I love
Digital Dwarves. And they've got their own website, which was launched today with media and info about A Game of Dwarves.
I'm sorry. That's adorable.
That's right. So it's a dwarf management strategy title. It's scheduled to launch October 23rd. You can visit the new website at agameofdwarves.com. Besides drinking a dwarf's weight in beer, the vertically challenged protagonists of the game are holding a contest in commemoration of their new website. Dwarves need fine, strong names, and now players have the chance to have their own made-up name included in A Game of Dwarves. Starting today, dwarf fans out there can submit their entry by visiting the official Facebook page for A Game of Dwarves. Thereafter, Paradox Interactive and Zill Games will randomly select five names to be included in the final version of the game. Alright, so if you want to check this out, there is a itty-bitty little link. You know what? I'll give it to you, because they give me a short link. HTTP, goo, wait, no, hold on, what is this? G-O-O dot /V,
V for Victor.
O-Y-T-L. You know what? I have this up on GameAndHX.com. Go check it out over there. It leads you to the Facebook page. Yay!
For Facebook page.
I'm going to like it right now. I've liked it. Yes, I've liked it. Again, doors. Oh, those doors are cute.
Like it slow.
Like I don't know about those eyebrows, though, because the eyebrows are, like, hanging off their heads. But, you know, I like the dwarves. I heard something about drinking. Do I get to drink?
Oh, dwarves always drink. You don't remember that from EverQuest?
I remember that if you drank in EverQuest, your screen would go blurry, and you couldn't see anything, and your stats would go down, and you'd die.
Yes, see, a lot of people thought that was significant to GTA. Because that would happen in GTA, but it actually first appeared in EverQuest. Well, you didn't. I think that was one character that you drank that would die. Because I never died as a human, but you did get your ass kicked. If something was fighting you, you couldn't even try to fight because you couldn't see straight. So just like
everything was blurry. No, I like to drink and then try to fish. Except that I would
fall into the water and drown.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
I'm sorry. That's not funny. I never learned how to swim in that game. That's why I never went fishing, because I would always fall in the water and drown or get eaten. There was something in the water that would eat.
Yes. Oh, my God. EverQuest, the original EverQuest, people don't realize that game was no joke. I mean, you had to rest. Like, literally, you had to rest your character, or he would get fatigued, and his stats would go down, and you'd get your ass kicked all over the place.
See, let me point out something. Point out something important about that resting, because people are like, oh, that doesn't sound like fun. Nobody ever dropped dead from playing EverQuest like they do from WoW, because that feature was in there. They made you have to rest, which means at that time you were like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I need to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Exactly. And, you know, if you weren't resting because your character was tired, then it was dark. And, of course, you could carry around your torch so that you could see. You could only see a small area. So, like, I would go park somewhere fairly safe during the dark and wait for it to become light again.
That's what I was going to say. If people that things could see your torch, too, they would come after you.
Yes, exactly. So I'd be like, I'm going to stay over here where it's safe. Wait for sunlight to come up. In the meantime, I'm going to go throw some loads of laundry going. I'm going to get some food. I'm going to pee. I'm, you know.
Yeah, so you didn't drop dead. So you didn't die.
Yes, and you don't understand, people. The days and the nights lasted a while.
Oh, yeah. You know, and, of course, 50 Dark Claw did not care what time of day it was he was attacking you if you were sitting in
his
way.
Gosh, I remember the damn boat. It took literally 30 minutes to travel from one side of the world to the other on this boat.
Which was lovely.
It was, because I would get up and go do whatever else.
That's why it was EverQuest.
Yes, and you know, you'd have somebody on the boat with you that's in voice. You know, back then we didn't have TeamSpeak or whatnot. We had Yahoo chat just come out with voice.
Yeah, and it didn't work very well either.
it wasn't very well. It was very laggy. But we'd have somebody in voice watching the boat so that when we got there, if the other people were up doing whatever, we could hear somebody screaming, all right, we're here! Get off the boat! Get off the boat!
Or, hey, you fell off! Look, or, hey, you fell off!
I knew you would lag and fall off the boat.
It happens
sometimes. I fell in the ocean. Damn it, where am I? Oh, I'm drowned.
Yeah, can you hear it on your speaker? Oh. I'm sorry.
And it was so dragging your body back from that. So you just lost everything. Those are the days. I almost missed that. Almost. I don't miss losing everything when I die. But
I'll tell you, I love every aspect. It was irritating, but that's to be what makes for good gamer stories when you get to talk to other gamers, you know, because they understand. To understand the brevity of having lost your things and having to go back and get them and fight to get them. Because you had that sword that you had spent 2 days real time making. And it was an epic sword, but you lost it because you got hit in the head by that damn Fippy Dark.
Yes. Begging, I need a sew.
And you had to go back and get your sword. And when you got it back, you felt such a sense of accomplishment. That's what the guy was telling me in the story. So that's what's gone from WoW, from a lot of games, is you don't feel a sense of accomplishment. An achievement does not give you that. It's that, I spent 3 hours doing this in the game. And maybe I'm tired of playing now, but I got my sword back. And I earned a level in the process. And some other cool stuff that I may have wanted that, you know, I didn't get before. You felt good. I worked hard to do this. It's not easy. Anyway, back on our topic. More news about OnLive.
Wait, I thought they were dead.
Oh, no. OnLive is not dead. Not only are they not dead, they said we have to prove the business. It has been 1 year since OnLive launched in the UK at the Eurogamer Expo, and they were handing out free consoles to attendees and reveling in the hype that came with the launch of the first consumer cloud-based or cloud game streaming service. Now the company is back. But they said they have a bit more humility. Over the past 6 weeks, OnLive has gone through a public and very damaging collapse with bankruptcy, layoffs, stepping down of their CEO, Steve Perlman. It's all been seriously messy and horrible. But they do have a replacement. His name is Charles Jablonski, and he spoke to GI International. And he said, "We've built a very large organization and structure, but it became clear in the summer that it was challenging maintaining that kind of financial support, and something had to change. Suddenly things had to change very quickly, and it was extremely painful for those affected." He says, "We've tried to minimize the destruction, especially as far as our players were concerned, but now we have investors with very long-term outlook on streaming, cloud, and video games for decades." He then added, keen to move on and talk about the future. He said, "So now we have the time to do what we need to do." He is not new to the company. He was the chief operating officer before stepping in to fill Perlman's boots, but the crib sheet in front of him is full of pre-written answers in a bid to second-guess journalists' suggestions to his public relations team is in damage control mode. So during the interview, he had answers written. I don't do that when we get interviewed. As y'all know, I just say whatever comes to my mind. Sometimes it's not nice.
No. Of course not nice.
I think the nicest I ever was on G4, and that's only because I love Sessler so much.
Aww.
He was not nice, though. If y'all knew some of the things that man was whispering in my ear. Not dirty things, but, man, I'm not even going to repeat that. Okay, so anyway, on the surface, OnLive wants to present an image that the business is unchanged. It's still a game service delivering big-budget PC games to consumers via the cloud. This week it added Eidos Hit Sleeping Dog to its lineup as if it's business as usual. So those of you who don't have great PCs and you are paying the subscription for online service, which is much cheaper than going out and buying the game, you can play it on your PC now. OnLive is not dead. They just scaled back a little bit, so you can play Sleeping Dogs. And I may actually do that. OnLive said they may have proven that technically streaming video games via the cloud can work, but following the bankruptcy, it's only enforced option that isn't a viable business financially so far. Now, the big question that has hung over it since the company came out of stealth mode in 2009 still, of course, hasn't been answered. Jablonski says he's aware of this and the costs involved in making it work, and that means continuing to pump money into the business that has yet to turn a profit. I am keeping a very close eye on OnLive. This is a very long interview. He goes on to say how he thinks it's capable of being a great business. You don't want to cut costs on your way to success. Your biggest problem, OnLive, is you did not explain to players what you were. That's the only thing I see it for. I don't know about what you're spending or, you know, if you guys are leaving lights on at night when you're leaving water running and your water bill and light bill's high. I have no idea. But I know that a lot of players had no idea what OnLive was, and a lot of them were like, "Well, I could just use Steam." No, there's a difference. You all need to understand. Steam is you get the game, you download it, and you use Steam to play the service. OnLive is your PC is effed up. You can't afford to build a new one. You can't really afford to buy any console games, but you can afford maybe between $4 to $9 a month, and that will allow you to play any of the games they have on your PC.
Yeah, you know, I kept thinking, how does this work? Is this magic? And that was the main deal. They didn't explain it well enough. And I was like, I don't want to pay for this if I don't really
know what it is. And the only reason I think I figured out what it was is because of we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago on the night show, is GameTap is very similar in the way that it works. So I understood exactly what it was, but that doesn't mean your average gamer understood what was going on. So, again, your computer is not great. You can sign up for OnLive and pay a subscription. Another company we were talking about, was it Konami? It has the same thing. I played Hitman via Konami. It's gorgeous. Both of them are gorgeous services. You just sign up and start playing. You don't really have to download anything. Or I think Konami's only difference in the two of them, and I may be calling it the wrong. It may not be Konami. They make you, if you don't want, you don't have to pay at all if you don't want to, but you have to watch ads and stuff, and which, again, is a chance for you to get up and get something to drink. As Ginger said, do your laundry, make sure you don't die. Sitting at the computer.
Yeah, don't die, people. Don't die. Dying is not fun, okay? Pretty sure there's no internet in heaven either. Sorry, guys.
Oh, good morning to you again, Taffeta, darling. She says she loves us.
Good morning, Taffeta, man. Now I want some taffy. No offense. Yeah. All right, so Reddit has something going on, which I hadn't heard about.
Ooh.
Reddit Declaration of Internet Freedom Bus Tour begins in early October. All right. So the Declaration of Internet Freedom may not be getting as much national attention as it should from the mainstream media. Apparently not, because I had not heard about this. But Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian, who also had a hand in helping draft the document, has some plans to get it noticed by the general public. Beginning in October, the Declaration of Internet Freedom will travel from Colorado to Kentucky as part of Reddit's Internet 2012 bus tour. The tour will make a stop at the locations of the presidential and vice presidential debates between Denver and Kentucky to highlight the importance of a free internet and to talk to people about it. Over 2,000 organizations have signed on to support the Declaration of Internet Freedom, and during their respective conventions this summer, Republicans and Democrats embraced internet freedom as an important part of their party platforms. Yeah, you better, because we are the voters, and we can fact-check you all day. Anyways, but internet freedom requires more than just platitudes from politicians and the spirit of support. It really requires lawmakers to come together and agree about the core tenets of a free and open internet. Ohanian and tour partners hope that they can do a better job of highlighting the importance of it all by going to where the politicians can't flee from them, the actual debates. That's hot. All right, so the Internet 2012 bus tour is going to begin in Denver, Colorado on October 3rd. If you want to see the full schedule, you can head over to Reddit and check that out. I think this is awesome, and I wonder if they're coming to somewhere near us. I really got to check this out, because that is interesting, you know?
That is interesting. All right, we got
time. I
have
to go and, like, paint my boobs. Internet 2012.
No, ma'am.
Gotta get it noticed, right?
Wrong. You know what? I'm gonna walk away. Walk away first. Walk away. All right, we got time for one more quick one. Nexon and NCSoft, two very major Asian online game companies, are reportedly in talks with U.S. game maker Valve to buy the company for more than $893 million. This is according to a Korean publication called, well, they don't really say who they are. Here it is, Joon Gang News. They're reporting that the companies met on yesterday in Hawaii to discuss a possible merger. And Valve, of course, is the major publisher of the games such as Portal 2 and Left 4 Dead. And it also operates Steam, you know, that little company. Nexon spokesman Mike Crouch declined to comment. He said Valve spokesman has not commented yet. And if all the talks are true, it shows the increasingly global nature of the video games business. China's Tencent recently made an investment in U.S.-based Epic Games and maker of the Unreal game engine, the Gears of War game series. Valve is another extremely influential game company, originally founded in 1996 by former Microsoft veterans Gabe Newell and Mike Harrington. They started out with a mega hit, Half-Life, and have grown the company to more than 300 employees. Valve is also Valve is so interesting that the New York Times recently profiled the company and its attempts to create a wearable gaming computer, a version of Steam for TVs, and its dispute with Microsoft over the launch of Windows 8, which will have an app store that may shut Valve Steam out of the picture. Ouch. Valve also has a non-traditional management structure where no employees have formal titles and projects tend to self-assemble. hey, if it works, do it. Some of the ideas at Valve may seem crazy, but Steam was once such a silly idea. Now it's given Valve control of maybe 70% of the game downloading business on PCs. Nexon is a pioneer in free-to-play games such as MapleStory, which I don't know why people play. I've been in there. I don't get it. But, hey, a lot of you love it. Users, of course, play for free, and they do pay real money for virtual goods. And over the past decade, Nexon's model has caught hold in the industry. Meanwhile, it has propelled Nexon to great heights. The company moved its headquarters from Seoul to Tokyo last year and has raised $1 billion in an initial public offering. $1 billion. It spent $688 million, to buy majority control of NCSoft, a massively multiplayer online game publisher. They've done Lineage, Guild Wars, you know those people. The transactions show that Asian online game companies are beginning to be big players on the global stage, and they may be in a position to buy a lot of our U.S. companies. Be afraid, y'all. Valve and Nexon are partnering up on an upcoming version of Counter-Strike, and they likely met in Hawaii at Nexon's Developer Summit, reported June Gang News. There are several observers as well, including analyst Michael Pachter at Wedbush Securities, that said that Valve is likely worth a lot more than 893 million, or 1 trillion Korean won. A Valve spokesman dismissed the story as rumor, and others say that Valve is likely worth twice that stated price. So if they sell it, it's going to be like an epic buyout.
Yeah, totally. Ooh.
I don't know what to think about this either. I'd be scared.
You should be. You should be. That's wow. I don't even know what to think about that. That's just, oh my God.
Yeah, we're going to lose a lot of our companies. You know what I blame that on? The reason why they're able to do that is because our company, our developers here, I don't know what's going on with you all. You all are stuck in your heads about what you think should be made as far as games. You're stuck in your head. We need to. I'm going to make a new game. First-person shooter.
Why? Stop that. We don't like that.
I'm going to go right back to the Shadowrun. Watch Dogs that's coming out is very similar to Shadowrun. If they had done their Shadowrun the way that Watchdog is done, whole new IP, whole new every, just something amazing would have been done. And to make it multiplayer and you stuck it on Xbox, you would be like so rolling in the dough right now. Instead of, hey, let's make a game that is a multiplayer tabletop game into a first-person shooter because, hey, that sounds like a logical next step. No.
Not so much.
And let's gag the people who actually decided they were going to make an MMO out of it, because it should have been an MMO if anything was, but let's not let them do that. Let's tell them to be quiet, and let's put this first-person shooter out that is pretty much Halo with different paint, as we said earlier in the show. Stop it!
Yes, and you thought you were tricking us. You were not tricking us.
I was confused. Anyway, and you see what happened there? All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's for us to go, Ginger.
It is time for us to go.
Okay, these three will be here tonight. I will be in the chat room, will be unable to speak, but I'll be causing some mayhem in the chat room, and the rest of these knuckleheads will be here tonight causing mayhem, because that's what they do when I'm not here. They're really bad when I'm not here.
I don't know what you're talking about. Tuesday we were great. We were wonderful.
You all did fantastic, but you were bad. Bad girls, bad.
You loved it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I did not.
So you're begging for... Oh, did you go see those Louis Vuittons? Oh, my God.
I saw everything y'all put up. Oh, my God.
Oh, we had some good stuff.
Yes. If you missed Pixany stuff, we'll have up the links for that later on today, as a matter of fact, so that you can listen and click along.
Yes, because those Louis Vuittons were
hot. What?
God, they were hot.
Do you hear this?
I do hear it. GLaDOS is like, no, sorry.
I think I'm going to let you play that. That's what she's like. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it got worse. Anyway, you guys be listening 9 p.m. Central Standard Time tonight. Watch the Twitter. I will be posting links and things so that you can come in the chat room. Remember, you have to have a LogTalk account in order to chat in the chat room. Or if you don't want to do an account but you want to talk, you can call into the show, 347-215-7977, and say hello. Remember, the nighttime show is a lot more raw. You say something we don't like, you might hear some things you don't like and then get hung up on. Just be aware.
Just a warning.
This is our house.
Our house. We do it our way, baby.
All right, we'll see you guys later. Ginger, give them their kisses.
Mwah.
You forgot the later, boys and girls.
Oh, later, boys and girls. I'm totally bad. Totally.